was talking about? Baptism. That whole song is about what took place and takes place in one being immersed into Christ. That whole song is. That's all it's about. I heard about a man down in Florida working in an orange juice factory, got fired. Got fired because he lost his ability to concentrate. So I'm trusting this morning that all of you will stay with me and you will concentrate through the things that I want to share with you today. A subject is half argued if it indeed is clearly stated. And what I want to share with you today, I don't want anyone leaving here not understanding exactly what I'm talking about. I wish to state the subject of this message as clearly as possible in the clearest possible term. I shall do this by what I call exclusion and by inclusion. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the source of authority in Christianity today. What is the source of authority in Christianity today? I'm not going to be discussing all the sources of authority that deals with all the religions of the world. For me to do that, I'd have to get up here and tell you all the philosophies of every religion there is. I'd have to tell you the standard of what their authority is based on, etc. I'm not talking. I'm excluding that. I'm not going to discuss the source of authority in different dispensations, whether it be the patriarchal, the Mosaic dispensation, because they don't exist any longer. And because they do not exist any longer, their authority left with them, whatever that might include. I do know that at the Transfiguration, and then Peter, James, and John were there, Elijah and Moses appeared, and we know that Moses was the lawgiver, Elijah was the greatest of the prophets, and God simply said, "This is my beloved Son," referring to Jesus, and this is what he said, "Hear ye him." Hear ye him. So I'm not going to be discussing the source of authority in ecclesiasticism today. Ecclesiasticism is simply those systems that has been developed by man. And there are thousands of them. Thousands of them where the ecclesiastical systems have been created. I just know this. Jesus said in his time to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, who had created ecclesiastical organizations of their nature at that time, he said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Hasn't changed. So I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to be discussing, if you will, the interpretation of God's Word. Interpretation, if you will, is one's process, or the process by which you and I arrive at a meaning of a message or a thought that has been delivered. That's interpretation. Authority, which we will talk a lot about, is the power to command and enforce obedience and submission to a message. That is authority. Authority is that which gives one the right to command, to be submissive to the message. Okay? Authority always precedes the giving of a message. Always. However, the message of God's Word, are you listening? Is everybody listening? The message of God's Word is not a matter of interpretation. Everybody today says the Bible is all your interpretation. Matter of interpretation. A matter of interpretation. You suppose the Holy Spirit knew that there would be a day that man themselves would become the authority and say, "Well, the Bible is nothing matter of interpretation." Interesting. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. This is what it says. Are you listening? "So we have this prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention." Are you concentrating? Paying attention. "Pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart." But. I'd like to kick everyone in the butt who says, "Well, that's just your interpretation." But. Know this first of all. Know this first of all. Holy Spirit saying through the Apostle Peter, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Isn't that the problem with our progressiveness today? They believe the Constitution of the United States is just a matter of interpretation. That means you can make that Constitution say whatever you want it to say. When you say the Bible is a matter of interpretation, that means you can take the Bible, twist it, do whatever you want, and you can make it say what you want it to say. The Bible is not a matter of interpretation. God has spoken. And God has spoken in such a way that even a wayfaring fool could understand what he has to do to be saved. God has not made his message difficult. Man has. And Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, I'm afraid of you because of the simplicity that is in Christ. It's simple, people. It is not difficult. For no prophecy was ever made by the act of human will, but men moved along by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. All Scripture is inspired, God-breathed. This is the Word of God. I don't believe this contains the Word of God. This is the Word of God. It's not a matter of what you think or I think. 2 + 2 = 4, even though there are those out there trying to twist that all around. But this book says, it means what it says, it says what it says, and it's going to be used against me and you at the judgment day. If God's going to judge us by the things that are written in this book, you think that he would have made it so difficult that you and I could not understand it? I don't think so. Okay? So I'm excluding all of that. What I'm including is this. It is my purpose to show to you this morning the source of authority in the system of what is known as Christianity. What source of authority does Christianity claim for itself? It's very evident that authority must be objective, not subjective. I don't care whether it's a system created by man. I don't care whether it's the Constitution of the United States. I don't care whether it's a football team, basketball team. There's a system of rules, regulations that dictate how it's supposed to, life is supposed to, or that game is to be played, right? You probably heard of the deflated football. Everybody's heard about the deflated football. Why? Because there's rules and regulations in that system that dictates how the game's supposed to be played, right? That is not objective. It's not a matter of whether you feel the ball's too heavy or too light. It has a law that says the football must weigh this much. That's a system. That is objective. That is not subjective. What I want to suggest to you today is that Christianity has moved into a subjective world, not an objective world. Most people dictate how and what their relationship with God is on how they feel. Feelings. Feelings is dictating Christianity today. That's why a lot of movement within the context of Christianity is moving toward emotionalism. How do you feel? How do you feel? Okay? I believe that Christianity is a system of teaching concerning, if you will, I got ahead of myself here, I'm sorry, shouldn't have flipped too many pages. But the point is, let's get this clear. What is clear? What is Christianity? What is it? Standard Dictionary defines Christianity as the doctrines and teachings of Jesus Christ. Webster defines it as the system of doctrines and precepts taught by Christ. Both definitions are defective. Did you hear me? The Bible talks about the doctrines of men, the doctrines of devils, the doctrines of false teachers. The Bible never talks about the teachings of Jesus in plurality. It's always singular. What does that mean? That means what Jesus taught is a unit of thought that unifies and is connected in every aspect of it. And you can't understand one thought, one context, without understanding the all. What am I saying? The Bible interprets itself. The Bible is its own interpreter. You have to understand the Bible in every context if it's context, and all the other contexts it refers to that context. In other words, everything about the Bible has to be seen as a unit of thought and understood as a continual concept of thought carried through. It's important that you understand that because Christianity is a system of teaching and life that is taught by Jesus Christ and later then proclaimed by the apostles. Hebrews 2:3, it was first spoken through the Lord. This salvation that you and I have was first spoken by the Lord, and then it was confirmed unto us by his apostles. Hebrews 12:2 states that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, making it complete in Himself. All right? No matter what view that you look at Christianity, however you look at it, it is a system of doctrine that centers around Jesus Christ as the only teacher. Nicodemus came to him at midnight, remember? Nicodemus says, we perceive that you are a teacher that has come from God. It is a system of law that centers in the teaching of Christ as the lawgiver. We haven't been taken out from law. We've been taken out from under the law of Moses, but there is a law of liberty that is dictated within the context of the New Testament. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law of the Spirit that is brought to life in Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. It is a system, thirdly, of teaching concerning a kingdom which centers itself in Christ as the King. Jesus, speaking to Pilate, says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, I would have called my angels, I would have called what? And they would have fought and warred against you. Jesus said, my kingdom is in you. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And in the book of this book, I believe he's declared to be the King of Kings. The King, singular, of kings. Christianity is a system of teaching that centers in Christ as the giver and the model of life. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you want to know what life is, look at Jesus Christ. He is the aspect of life. 1 Peter 1:21, he left us an example that we would follow his footsteps. So not only is Christianity centered in Christ as the one who gives life, shows us what life is all about, but he left us an example, a model, to walk in his footsteps. We must conclude then that Christianity and Christ are so inclusive within themselves, like the sun and what it is to the solar system. You cannot have Christianity without it centering itself in Christ. Christ is the center of every aspect of Christianity. And if Christ is divine, if he has, as God declared him to be when he come up out of the water, being as it was immersed by John, a spirit of the Lord, a voice from heaven said, this is my son. This is my son. John says, as he saw the Holy Spirit ascending upon Jesus Christ, that he had been told, upon whom you see the Holy Spirit descending, you shall know. And I testify, he said, that this is indeed the Son of God. Peter, as it was read this morning, and out of Matthew chapter 16, they were asked the question, whom do you say the Son of Man is? And they had become convinced that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And if Jesus is divine, proven and substantiated by his resurrection, risen from the dead, then Christianity is divine. Did you hear that? Then the whole system of Christianity has to center itself in Christ, not the church. The church saves nobody. The church is the saved. But there's a whole system out there that teaches people to obey the church, do what the church teaches. They're going to be saved by the church, or the church will execute them, excommunicate them, and on and on and on, that is the source. No, the whole center of Christianity is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ and who he declared himself to be, the Son of God. The Son of God. So what is authority? How do you define authority? Well, it's a right to command and enforce obedience. It's a right of entitlement to act because of one's position and one's power. But there are two kinds of authority. Primary authority and delegated authority. I believe God is primary authority. Why? I believe he has that right by creation. I believe that it is in him that we move and have our being. We are his offspring. And I believe God has the authority and the power. If he wanted to, he could stop you from breathing right now. okay? He's my maker. He's yours. Yeah, I believe He is the preserver of life. And I also believe that every bountiful benefact that you've received has come from God, because the Bible dictates that God is good, and every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father who is in heaven. He, therefore, has absolute authority. Absolute authority demands obedience. You know that, don't you? He has the right, by who He is and by where He sets and how He is the creator of the universe, to dictate and, if He will, demand authority to obey. All right? But you don't find anywhere in the Scriptures where God has taken that primary authority and He Himself has acted on it. You'll find that God has always delegated His authority to something or someone else. Did you know that? Delegated authority. Well, the first one I can find in the Scriptures where God really completely delegated His authority was from the Father God to the Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1 states, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Jesus states, the words that I say to you and the words that I teach you, the words that I'm saying, are not my words, they are my Father's words that He hath given to me. Jesus said, the things that I do, the things, the miracles and all the forces and unbelievable acts that He did, Jesus said, I don't do these by my power. I do them by the power of Him who sent me. And in our text today, when He's speaking to His disciples, He made it very plain. All authority, all power has been delegated to me, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Delegated authority. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that He, Jesus, is the radiance of His glory, that's God, and the exact representation of His nature. So that Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen God. So what does He radiate to us? What did Jesus radiate to us in relationship to the nature of God? He radiated God's holiness. He was without sin. Jesus said, if you can find any sin in me, point it out. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what He said. Look at my life. Can you find any sin in me? Of course, the answer is no. Point is, He's not so the demonstration and the radiance of God's power. He raised people from the dead, didn't He? He had power. He had just as much power as God did. And God delegated that power to Him. He also had the aspect of the radiance of the love of God. If you want to know what the love of God is, then you need to look at His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave, and Jesus was willing to lay down His life for you because He loves you. He's the exact representation. He is the invisible God, but Jesus came in the flesh to show us the Father. And then Jesus comes, takes that element of authority, and He delegates that authority to 12 men called apostles. He delegated it. It's evident, therefore, as you and I look into God's Word, that imparted aspect of the Spirit as it was to God is imparted to them. So whatever He had, He has delegated it and gave it to the 12 apostles. And so whatever they were taught, whatever they said, whatever is revealed in the context of this Word is God's Word, is Christ's Word, delegated and given to us through the apostles. Let me explain further. All right? Just as God the Father delegated His authority to the Son, Jesus, had delegated His authority to the apostles. If you ever read John 17, the prayer of our Lord, He's praying for His disciples, those 12 men. I'm going to paraphrase it. Look that, outline it. First of all, He prays God and says, I'm going to outline. And Jesus said, God has given the Son power of all the flesh. He said He was given power that He might give to you and me eternal life and give that life to all men. This eternal life is given through the true knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. He's praying all of this. Jesus then said, I have made your name clear to the men, the apostles, the 12, who you have given to me. Those apostles were directly chosen by God and given to His Son to become the apostles that God is going to use and Jesus was going to delegate his authority to become, as it is, the means by which you and I can receive the teachings of God through Christ, through the apostles. Okay? Are you with me? Jesus said, I have made your name clear to these men, whom you have given me out of the world. They know that everything given to me is from you. I've given them the words you have given me. I have given them your word. Keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in truth. They are the only ones Jesus prayed for that would be sanctified, set apart completely and totally in truth. Period. How did he do that? Well, John chapter 16, verses 12, 14 tells us how he did that. Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, talking of the Holy Spirit, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will be disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it, make it clear to you. So the apostles were promised by God's Son that he would send them the power, the Holy Spirit, and that this Holy Spirit would guide them, the apostles, into all truth. No one else was ever given that promise. Nobody. Okay? But he didn't stop there. And the apostles themselves, Paul speaking in Corinthians says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thought with spiritual words. These are spiritual words. You can't dictate and interpret these words from the natural mind. The natural mind can't comprehend the mind of God. The carnal mind cannot comprehend the spiritual mind of God. It cannot. It's impossible, Paul said, for them to do it. So I believe the apostles were to receive God's word. That word was delegated to them from Jesus Christ to them, and it was authorized and empowered into them by the Holy Spirit himself. But that's not all. Okay? Luke 24:49, Jesus says to the apostles, I am going to send you forth the promise of the Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And book of Acts begins in chapter 1 with this word, speaking and interrelating Jesus to the apostles, telling them that this is what's going to occur. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. It's therefore very evident in my context of Scripture that God imparted the Spirit to the Lord's apostles that they would make no mistake in giving to you and me the mind of God and the teachings that came through Christ. And just as Jesus was representative of God on the earth, the apostles are the representative of Christ upon the earth for the purpose of making known his will to the sons of men. Their teaching is Jesus' teaching. Their authority is his authority. And we better give heed to what they have taught and said in this book. John 13:20 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whom I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Then he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Whoever receives those who have been sent by me receives me. And if they receive, then they are going to also be received by God. You cannot have the Father without the Son. You can't have the Son without the Father. Can't do it. So the unfolding of divine authority in Christianity being made marked by these three steps. I'm closing. God delegated all authority and power to his Son. The Son delegated all authority and power to the apostles. And the apostles delegated all authority to no one else. Period. So in Acts 2:42, the first church, the early church on that Pentecost, after 3,000 were baptized, the Bible says they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. In Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says before Jesus ascended to fulfill all things, he gave some to be apostles. Earlier, he has said in 4:20 that the foundation of the church, the body of Christ, is the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. God has spoken, people. He first spoke through his Son. Now he has spoken to us through the writings and the teachings that's given in this book. These books were written by apostles and prophets for your knowledge, for you could know God. And in knowing him, you could know his Son. And in knowing his Son, you could have eternal life. Would you know God? Would you know him? Then you need to know Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Would you know Christ? Then you need to know the apostles whom he sent. God in Christ, Christ in the apostles. The apostles preaching Christ in the world is the source of authority in Christianity, and there is none else. That excludes anybody who claims that they received a revelation from God and have written it in different books, whether it be the Book of Mormons, the books of this, the books of that, creed books, manual, dogmas. Your faith needs to go back to this book. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by some man. God has spoken. This is authority. This is the authority of this congregation. And I'm going to stand up here and preach philosophy or whatever. I'm going to stand up here and preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke for all longsuffering and doctrine. For the day is coming, Paul warned Timothy, that men will not love sound doctrine, singular, but will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. Brother, we've been in that day and it's still going. Your faith better be able to be substantiated by what the apostles have taught and revealed to you. Why do I say that? Stand with me. Turn to your Bibles, 1 John chapter 1. I want to read this to you in closing. 1 John chapter 1, the apostle John, the apostle whom the Lord loved, this man, this is what he's going to say to you and me this morning. This is really the whole issue of what I'm trying to get through to you today. Because you want to know the Father, you want to know the Son, then you need to have fellowship with the apostles. You must have. You must have. Look at what he says. John says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Who is he talking about? Did you see him? Have you touched him? Did you eat with him on the seashore? Did you see him eat fish? Did you push his hand into his side where the sword had pierced him? Did you do any of that? Who did, though? The apostles. John says, notice verse 2, and the life, that is Jesus Christ, was manifested, clearly seen. We have seen and testified, proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made clear, manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, the apostles. Say you can have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. We can have fellowship with the apostles through the Word of God. And if we have fellowship with them, they're going to come and we're going to have fellowship with the Father and we're going to have fellowship with the Son. That's how it works. So let me suggest to you, if you're totally ignorant of the Word of God and what the apostles have preached, that's your fault. You cannot have fellowship with Christ and fellowship with the Father if you're not fellowshipping with them on a daily basis by being in the Word and looking at what they taught. Because what they taught came from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to them from God so that you may know the Father, know the Son, and have eternal life. This is not just a book. This is the Word of God. And the only way you're going to know God is through the Son. And the only way you're going to know the Son is through the teachings and the writings of the apostles. Those are the only ones I know that saw him, walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, felt him. But isn't it amazing to me? You see, today, you and I are having fellowship with the apostles. And in doing so, we're also fellowshipping with the Son and with the Father. God bless you. Understand the true source of Christianity. God is the ultimate primary force of authority. Delegated it to His Son. Gave Him all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. And then before He ascended to heaven, Jesus gave apostles to the church and delegated His authority and His power to them. And there is none other. Jeff, would you close in prayer?